You know, with me experiencing being a transformation coach, I've discovered that people really want to be better. And a lot of times people are not shown the way, but they're thrown into the way. Of any sorts, we have to meet people right there, right where they are. That's the only way we'll be able to really push for effective change. We really want to be better, and we gotta help each other get there, y'all,
because the world needs to see it.
What's good, family? Please listen, do me a favor. If you have not already, please like and subscribe to the podcast. That's how I grow. That's how I make this thing bigger. That's how I make this thing better. So if you are watching and you have not subscribed or liked, please, please do me a favor. Like and subscribe to this podcast. Ray Bridge Inheritance is the place where the people get to hear you and the world gets to see it. Welcome to another episode of Ray Bridge Inheritance. It's the place where the people get to hear you and the world get to see it. What's up, family? We're back for a second season. We're back, y'all. It's the second season, y'all. This is, this is a whole unraveling for me. And I'm just so excited I got these two beautiful women on the couch tonight. Ray Bridget Hermes. These two beautiful. I hope y'all just introduce yourselves. Y'all just tell me your name, who you are, whatever, you know. I know y'all, but tell the people who y'all are.
My name is Ken Michelle. I am mother of three, Gigi of one. Okay. Do you know anything else?
That's it. You're good. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Trina, what you got?
And I'm Katrina, mother of three. No, Gigi.
Uh-oh.
Oh, wow.
None.
I don't know why I ain't thinking about both of y'all got three. So, I got two beautiful women on this couch with me. If you have not subscribed, y'all know this is the joining Ray Bridge and Hermes. You want to be a bridger. You want to be somebody who is making change in the community. You like, share this episode on YouTube. I'm on Spotify. I'm on Apple Music. Mm-hmm. I'm on Amazon. Please let everybody know about it. Y'all,
Like and subscribe.
Right. Mm-hmm. And y'all, I made myself a promise this season. If it did not, it's me getting the episodes together, me kind of getting everything what I wanted to kind of center it around. I was like, if it did not make me nervous, mm-hmm. I don't want to do it.
Then don't do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to do it. Because it's so many people in the podcast space, you know what I'm saying? So many people in the space. And I just wanted to make sure that I am on purpose. On purpose with everything that I'm doing. So I know I just been moving around a lot, so y'all might see a little perspiration on my face, but I'm good. But I'm just, you know, I put a little of this Martell in me a little bit, so you know. We're like, okay, Sue, right? We're calm down, you know. But yeah, we here. you know, this is 42 kicking in, right?
I was about to say that. I told you.
Told you for years.
Oh God! Oh my God!
I told you.
Oh my God! Wow! But I'm real. I'm gonna truck off. It's gonna go away. It's gonna stop. You know. But y'all, I'm so happy to have them here tonight. And this episode, I know this may or may not be a controversial episode, but it's gonna be a telling episode. It's gonna be something that is really, really, really dear to my heart. Because it's a part of my story and who I am. So I wanted to invite two women that I know. For me, they're at the benchmark of motherhood. You know, just being able to navigate life from a different perspective. I appreciate it. Before we get into the topic, what's on y'all mind? What's going on? Anything in particular on your mind?
In real life.
In real life. Because we're in a crazy world right now. We're in a really crazy world right now.
Staying grounded and keeping my laugh.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's good.
That's good.
I cannot let it bring me down.
That's good. I mean, because it's a lot, right? No, you're aware.
Yeah, but I'm not going to let it steal my life.
I'm going to
laugh.
You have to. Yeah. You know, what else you can?
I think my focus right now is just constantly reminding myself that happiness is a choice.
Yes.
Wow.
Because it's so easy, kind of like what Trina was saying, it's kind of so easy to get like engulfed in life-ing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And so it's like every day you have to make like a conscious decision to say, you know what, like despite XYZ, I'm going to choose happiness.
Yeah.
And then you just like Pastor Karen used to tell us, fake it till you feel it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm just gonna act happy until I feel happy, and it'll all just, you know, it'll line up eventually.
And look for happiness in places that you wouldn't.
You have to change your perspective.
You have to change your perspective.
I was talking to a couple guys at the shop today, like grown men, married, kids and everything, and now we see, me and the barbers was talking, we was like, you know, it used to be we just kind of shuck and jive in the barbershop, we just kind of shoot the breeze, talk about this stuff, but now, like, everything is so serious.
Everything
like,
is so heavy.
It's heavy, so right? Heavy. Right? It's heavy, so it's like, damn, like, we got to be able to laugh, to
own and be intentional,
and be intentional about it. Yeah, and be intentional about not letting what's going on in the world consume us. That's what's on my mind as well. I think that with the current state and condition of the world, like to be able to live, because I was telling Melvin today, one of my clients, I said, man, I have to meditate and pray now. Yeah. You know, you used to be able to skip times or whatnot, but man, look, I gotta talk to creator, because if I don't, you know, I'm gonna be crazy out here in these streets.
For sure.
I'm gonna be crazy out here in these streets. Yeah, but we're gonna get to what we're getting to tonight, because we got a lot. We got a whole lot. We got a whole lot. Today's episode is entitled From Understanding to Advocacy, The Journey into the Queer Perspective from a Black Mother. That's right, you're hearing me from Black mothers. There are so many, there's thousands and thousands of men and women who have this story. And I know, I don't know all of them, but I know quite a few of them. And so to be able to have an episode like this, I knew that it would really stoke some interest, because I know a lot of mothers like secretly go through this.
Yes.
And you know, I don't tell nobody, or they may talk to their mama, they may schedule a meeting with their pastor, or they might, you know, going, you know, but it's a thing. Mm-hmm. It's a thing. You see more and more of it now. Like the youth are bolder than what our generation was. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they're more forthcoming. And I appreciate it. I appreciate it, you know. But I wanted to talk to two Black affirming mothers. And if you know any Black mother, any Black father, for that matter as well, that this is a struggle, or this is something that they are going through, or they see their son or their daughter like being different, let them know about this episode. Yeah. Let them know about this episode. Before I get into the questions, I know these two women, and I've walked with both of their sons, and I love both of their sons like dearly. Mm-hmm. Those are my boys, and I've watched them, and I watched them be different from youth, and I watched them grow up in a world that I know that may kind of shun the young man who's around the girls a lot, or they may, you know, make light or make fun of him and talk about him. And so I made sure that I held on to those boys.
Thank you. I
know that they needed it.
Thank you.
And I'm gonna try not to, you know, I'm gonna try not to get too emotional on this episode, but I know that the tools that y'all have, my mom, you know, she grew up a baby boomer, so she didn't have the language. Mm-hmm. She didn't have the tools. Mm-hmm. And that's something I was at the bank today on the way to work, and I broke down because I thought about, like, not only did I not have the tools to share with my mama what it is I needed or what I felt. Mm-hmm. She didn't have it
to receive it,
to even receive it, to even speak to it. She didn't have the language mm-hmm. to speak to it. Mm-hmm. And I broke down because, and Trina called me last week, I'm giving my mom even more grace. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I know that in our community, we always want something to blame.
Yes.
Right? We got to like, damn.
Somebody has to take the blame.
Yeah, like what did I do? Yeah. What did I say? Like, what did I put him around the right people? Did I make sure he have everything he needed? Like, and it was always something. So, and I'm just kind of giving the introduction because these are two prolific women. And, but I, you know, with how both of your sons are, like they are, like very comfortable with who they are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're very comfortable. And I love and I appreciate it, you know, but I think that for me, you know, as children, right? Even y'all, like if something is not discussed in the household, you automatically, okay, it ain't right. Mm-hmm. If it's not just talked about, mm-hmm. it ain't right. And so then you start growing and you see that you're different. And then things, you know, things just get, the shit starts right there, you know. Isolation began there. Yeah. And so for me, the whole of isolation, for me, brought judgment. Mm-hmm. Me judging myself. Yep. Secrecy. Mm-hmm. It brought silence. Mm-hmm. Like, this conversation is so in real time. Like, I just, like, me and Ken, we talked for like an hour the other week. Yeah. Like, I just, like, was just talking to her about me. Like, mm-hmm. I had never had a conversation with Ken about me being gay, you know. Yeah. And I'm learning to embrace even more, you know, the realities of my life. Even now, like, for real, emotionally, I'm probably, like, 12 years old. I'm about 12.
Yeah.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
About 12. Real talk. And the point of this show is not to, there's no agenda, there's no motive. Well, there is a motive. The motive is to bridge humans, to show you, you know, to treat people better. I don't care what you believe religiously.
Yeah.
I don't care what you stand by or the biases that you
what
have.
What you understand.
Like how you treat people is everything.
It's everything.
Right? It's everything. And in that hold of judgment and secrecy and privacy, like I learned to perform, you know, you just perform.
Yep.
Put the mask on. Mm-hmm. I learned codependency. Mm-hmm. I learned, you know, to just make sure you do what you have. And I'm a masculine presenting man. This is naturally who I am. You know, this is naturally who I am. I don't put on the front or anything. So it's harder for somebody like me, you know what I'm saying, that I present masculine, so people don't mind saying shit about gay people
around me.
They don't mind talking about it. They don't mind expressing how they feel, because most of the time they don't know.
Right.
They don't know.
I hit that shit in the bud.
Yeah, you know. Immediately. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, okay, let me stop you right there.
And so I wanted to just kind of, there's no particular order, you know, however you feel led to answer and talk, but I just want to kind of open up the conversation to let y'all know this is what this is, and I'm excited about it. But either one of y'all can answer first. It don't matter who go, but what was the first initial reaction when you learned that you had a black gay son? Like, and how have your thoughts of that evolved over time?
So, you know how you've seen, like, that meme that says, or, like, the post that says, if I ever hit the lottery, I won't tell anyone, but there'll be signs?
Mm-hmm.
There were signs.
Wow.
So, I knew, I can say for sure that I knew when he was about 3.
Wow.
And then when I look back
mm-hmm.
and I see all the pictures of when he was 1,
uh-huh.
I have pictures of
uh-huh.
him with his sister's purse on.
Wow.
And her heels. And he would have on like a big t-shirt that he probably had slept in or whatever. So it looks like a dress because it's a big t-shirt. Like,
wow.
So, and he's walking around with her purse and her heels. And I didn't think anything of it because he's one.
Yeah.
And he's just emulating what he's seen his sister do. So it was nothing. And then when he was three, I was talking to a guy or whatever. And he was like a model. And so his profile picture came up on my phone when he called me one day.
Wow, okay.
Three years old now, my baby said, "Ooh, he fine."
Oh. Wow.
I said, "Oh."
Wow. Wow.
So I told the backstory to say that when he told me, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And he was like, "What do you mean, okay?" I said, "I know." Yeah. So how do you know?
Yeah.
So I had to tell him a story about when he was three. I said, "Let me tell you what you did when you were three." Now, I knew, but I tried to curb it.
Okay.
I didn't want to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
I was deep in church. And I didn't want to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried. Mm-hmm. I tried to curb it. You know.
And
the crazy part is, this is how, and I don't care who feels about what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
But this is how God works.
Mm-hmm.
Because me trying to curb that thing in him, I sent him the wrath.
Yeah!
I'm like,
wow!
Because that was God's work.
That was God's work.
Wow.
Can you talk to my baby? Can you work with him?
That was God's work.
You know, I think I see a little something. He might have been maybe about 14, 15 at the time. I see a little something.
Yep.
You know, I just hanging out with the girls, just like you just said. He's always with the girls.
Yeah.
Always, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, can you talk to him? Can you mentor him for me? Unbeknownst to me,
yeah.
I was sitting on the right.
Wow.
Work.
It's before you got here. I said, "Trent, I don't know if Ken remember when we had the conversation. We was downtown. We had the conversation." I said, "I don't think she knew who she was."
I didn't, but God knew.
Yeah,
that's
God
all
knew.
That's
all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Wow. Ken.
So, when he told me, I was like, I don't know. What do you want? Which one did?
Yeah. Wow.
What else
wow.
we talk about? Because we can get past that part.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What about you, Trina?
I always knew Jared was gay.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have any sisters.
Mm.
None of that. The only thing that he ever did was he played in my makeup one day. Sent my mama over the top. You need to stop wearing makeup because that boy was like,
so you got to stop wearing makeup.
I got to stop wearing makeup because... No. I knew.
Mm-hmm.
I knew.
Wow.
It wasn't a thing other than him putting the makeup on, but... He was putting the makeup on because he was watching me put on makeup.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't, it wasn't a, oh my God, he's gay. I always knew he was gay.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
And even with you guys saying what y'all just said, like, has there ever been any major pushback from like men or people who, like, man, what's like men you and y'all have dated or talked to? Mm-hmm. Like
what? Didn't date.
What?
I thought this was my chill.
Yeah.
So I did tell them one day that I did apologize to them because I felt like had I dated in front of them, they would have had a better example of what a relationship should
be. So you didn't date in front of them?
I didn't date, period.
Yeah, okay.
I had people, you know what I'm saying?
You know.
They were at their daddy house.
Yeah.
But no, in front of, no, it was much later.
Yeah.
You know, I dated Curtis for a while, so they saw that.
Mm-hmm.
But they were teenagers by that point. But no, when my middle son, the one that is gay, Jeremiah, when I got pregnant with him Valentine's Day of 98, his dad and I were together the week before, so he had already separated
because
he had a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back that week before, you know, crying, apologizing, I love you, I want to be in my family, okay, great. That Saturday, I finally gave him some, I got pregnant, Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. Well, Sunday was great. Monday, he went to work. Didn't come home that Monday night. Tuesday morning, I took him to work. We've never been together since. We didn't get divorced until 2003.
Oh, wow.
So I carried Jeremiah the whole pregnancy by myself.
Oh. Because
I'm not a cheater, so you're just not going to cheat on me.
Right.
I just can't, you know.
Yeah.
So, but my focus was them mm-hmm. and my career. You know what I'm saying? That's what my focus was. So I felt like I should have probably dated in front of them to give them give them some kind of example of a healthy relationship. But I didn't, so
it's
I dated
in front of mine, and I still didn't get one. It's a look and a draw, like, for real.
But just teaching him to be a good human, that's all I wanted.
Yeah.
Now, my pushback came from my parents, because, you know, they were in church. You know, they would say, sanctified. You know, it's going to take you to church and pray for you. And mm-hmm. I was like, no, we don't need prayer.
Yeah.
We need support.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with him.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because from as far back as I can remember, this is where I didn't know it at the time. I learned later on through therapy that I was an empath. But the reason I didn't think he needed to be fixed or whatever, mm-hmm. I've always loved art, music, dance, anything creative, full of color. I've mm-hmm. always loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Mm-hmm. That wasn't anything that anybody taught me. So this is how you love dance. This is how you love paintings. This is how you love museums. This mm-hmm. how, nobody taught me that. It's something I always loved. Mm-hmm. I was born as that. It's natural.
Mm-hmm.
So when he was born, and I knew that he was gay, probably for sure, when he was about 2, I never felt like, did I have him around somebody? That's just who he was.
Yeah.
I didn't teach him. And my counter to my parents was, well, y'all didn't teach me how to be heterosexual.
Yeah.
Y'all didn't teach me like boys. Yeah. I like boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in our community, like, the natural inclination is that, you know, from a mother or a father's perspective, like, I did something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I did something.
Or who touched you.
Or who,
right. That's what his dad asked her.
Or who.
Did somebody touch you?
Touch you.
Yeah.
Strange that I didn't get those questions until I was like well into my adulthood. Like did somebody touch you? Did somebody like you know? And it was
did somebody touch you?
Right. Nobody's ever like sexually molested me or did anything to me that I didn't want. You know, and it was nothing from an early age. You know, but this is always who I've been. You know, but. It's interesting y'all say this because I wanted to kind of dive into like the realization of it, like because y'all are we're millennials and X's, so how we were raised to think a certain way mm-hmm. about gay, we were raised to think and feel some way about gay. So how did you meet that with your new reality of a soul that came out of you? Is this like how did y'all meet that? What did that look like?
Well, I it was never a meeting for me.
Mm-hmm. You always,
because I didn't start out in church like my parents. Up until I was 8, like mm-hmm. I looked at Soul Train and wore thins, No. 5 nail polish. My you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I wore pants. I danced. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, I got you. I got you.
So there was no arrival for me. It's just.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't a thing for me. My thing was, and I remember telling my best friend that I was completely prepared to never speak to my parents again if they tried to alienate me.
Because
he was mine.
Wow. Yes.
He was mine. He came from me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing wrong with him. Yes. So you're not going to make him feel like anything's wrong with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I was literally like ready to go to battle. Like, you don't fuck with him, well, then you don't fuck with none of us.
Wow.
Like, I was going to totally.
Wow.
Yeah, I wasn't going to allow anybody. Wow. None of them, period, but specifically since we're talking about my gay son. Mm-hmm. No, you're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with
that. Yeah. What about you, Ken?
I had to arrive.
Okay.
I'll be honest.
Okay.
I had to arrive.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me tell you something else that's funny. So I remember vividly when AJ was maybe 5
mm-hmm.
and we lived in Nashville. and I don't even recall who said what, but somebody brought it to my attention that AJ may be a little
No.
I know what it was. That wasn't it. He had a little girlfriend.
Okay.
Rachel.
Okay. Okay.
A white girl.
Okay. 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 Let's go. Okay, Rachel. Okay.
And he loved Rachel. And when he watched this, and you asked me to tell you, he loved Rachel. And it was just Rachel this and Rachel that. And Rachel's parents loved AJ. And they come pick them up and go to the park and yada, yada, yada. And what someone said to me was, so you'll be okay with AJ dating a white girl? Y'all, huh?
Okay.
I said, y'all, hold on. I said, I'd rather him bring home a white girl than a black man.
Oh, wow. Yes, yes.
I said it.
Yeah.
And I was convinced.
Absolutely.
That was how I felt. Mm-hmm. And I was so serious. And then life said, aha, that bitch.
Wow. Watch this.
when I started really just seeing it, I tried everything. I put him in football because I wanted to make him tough. Mm-hmm. We were living in Nashville. I put him in football. Cameron, which is my oldest son, All-American, whatever sport.
Cam the man.
Yeah. Like, for real. Whatever sport he can play, he can do it. He is alpha male supreme.
Yeah.
Put him in football. Put AJ in football with him. I give it.
AJ,
and the coach said, Mom,
this ain't it.
I don't think he wants it. And I said, well, what do you mean? I already got him his, you know,
practice.
Oh,
my God,
I was
stuck.
Like, what
all
do you mean?
Things.
I
want
to do it. He said, well, Mom, halfway through practice, we realized we didn't see AJ. And we looked around, and AJ was halfway up Antioch. We done walked off of practice, and they ran to get him to bring him back. And he was like, I want to go. They're like, where are you going? He said, I want to go home.
Yeah, we're going home. What the fuck? Like, I'm not doing that.
I don't want to do this. This is not me. And so that was that. And then I think around the time when he was maybe about 13 or 14, I started really seeing the shift. Okay. I really saw it, and I was like, okay, I don't think it's, ain't no running from this. Yeah. It is what it is. Yeah. I still wasn't necessarily ready to embrace it because I had been beat over the head with that Bible for so long that I was afraid. I was more afraid than anything to embrace it because embracing it made it real. Mm-hmm. And then now this is something that we're going to have to deal with. Like, we're going to have to, you know, tackle it head on.
Yeah.
And I wasn't ready for that for him. And I wasn't ready for that for me either.
Wow.
So he first told me, because he was playing one of those, what's that little IMVU game? It was like with the people, and it's like people basically and you pick a character. It's like Sims, but it was IMVU.
Okay.
And he was a girl.
Okay.
And Cam came and told me, Mom, you need to watch him. Again, the alpha male of the house. You need to watch him. Your girl on this game. So I go talk to AJ about it. And I notice all of his friends, because AJ, you can tell, but he's still masculine for sure.
But
you can tell, because he got, you know, a little twang in his voice a little bit or whatever. But I noticed his friends, like, they were like, I'm like, okay, this whole circle. A little questionable. Yeah. Like, what are we doing here? Yeah. And so he first told me he was bisexual.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, because he had a girlfriend in sixth grade. Mm-hmm. So I could believe bisexual was believable, right? Mm-hmm. I wanted to accept bisexual. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay. And then as he got a little bit older, I was like, yeah. And I had a teacher call me, a male teacher. And that's, let me tell you something, that's stuff like that. Because for some reason, black men feel like, oh, well, you don't have a daddy around, so I need to be his daddy.
Yeah.
You got a Popeye. Mm-hmm. My daddy was his daddy. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't need nothing from you, but for you to teach him. Mm-hmm. That's your job. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I had a male teacher call me and said, Miss Freeman, I just want to let you know that AJ's been wearing lip gloss. I said, okay. He said, did you hear what I said? I said, did you hear what I said? I said, what? That's what you called me at work?
Wow, to tell me
that he's wearing lip gloss? What is right? Is he failing? Mm-hmm. Tell me something about that. So that went nowhere. Mm-hmm. But then once I started, that was kind of like the eye-opening thing for me. And then I noticed that AJ went, he's already an introvert, but he was like turtle shell.
Yeah.
Like he just.
You go into it.
I literally could just see this dark cloud over him. And it was like no matter what I would say or what I would do to try to pull him out of it, to try to make him happy, try to whatever, it was not shifting. It was going no. He was like the little boy in like on Charlie Brown, the one with the little cloud over. That's how my son was. He was just gloomy all the time, and nothing I could do would pull him out of it. And then when he finally said what he said to me that day in the kitchen and told me he was gay, and I was like, okay. Instant. Cloud gone. Rainbow.
Wow.
No pun intended.
Wow.
Rainbow.
Wow.
Instantly.
And for those of you who are watching, because I know a lot of you probably like clenching your pearls and mad and texting your friends right now. So when you give your scripture, when you give your shaming speeches and everything, you know, as if that's going to work, like it's been scientifically proven that when you, nobody can be shamed into a change. Mm-mm. Nobody. Mm-mm. And so when you,
whether you're a hoarder, you're a gambler,
whether
you're on drugs, whatever, shaming doesn't work.
You cannot be shamed and changed.
Whether you're a whoremonger, because people like to overlook that.
Right.
Like, that's okay, but being gay isn't. It makes sense.
And these are things that I want y'all to hear these two mothers just said, because like a young man, we go through that. We go through that. And so when you get to a place to where it's like, damn, like, and just, I want y'all to know that I have 30 and 40 and 50 year old associates and friends who still have not had a conversation with their mama to this day.
Mm, I can believe that.
And so, if y'all can for a second, because I intently did this episode because I wanted them to be able to hear and see, because we live life, right? And so a lot of them, you know, they speak like, well, I mean, I know they know, but still, like, but they never have any kind of discussion about a person. Like, they never talk, like, that's off limits. Like, we just don't talk about that. So one thing I do now with a lot of them who, especially ones that I'm closer to, I remind them, bro, you are loved. Mm-hmm. You are loved. Mm-hmm. And so, just for a second, you know, I just wanted to do this. If y'all can, like, really speak to how y'all already know. Mama know. And I specifically brought mamas on the episode today have this conversation because y'all be knowing. And so I think that because we're in the hole of isolation so long, we feel like, you know, they don't see me. Don't nobody know. They don't recognize. So if y'all can speak to, like, and y'all just told stories, but just kind of affirm that mama know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mama
because you're mine.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I know things about you that you don't know.
Exactly.
You are mine.
Yes. Wow.
I carried you. Mm-hmm. I birthed you. Mm-hmm. I raised you.
Wow.
You're mine. Mm-hmm. I know you better than I probably know myself.
Dang.
And because it, when as being a parent and an intentional parent and a connected parent,
yes,
you pay attention. Absolutely. You pay attention and you study. Mm-hmm. So like when when we say we know you, it's not just because I birthed you. It's not just because I raised you. It's because I've studied you.
Yeah.
Like good parents actually study and pay attention to their children.
Yeah.
So things like, oh, I know you're upset because your demeanor or your tone or, you know what I'm saying? Like anything just as small as that, we're like psychologists, the psychiatrists. Like we're literally just watching your, paying attention to your movements, your tone, your gestures, your this, your that. So all the things that you think that you're potentially hiding, we see it.
See it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You
know,
a mother,
yes,
knows her children.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And just because you birth people doesn't make you a mother.
Facts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. But a mother, we know our children. We know if you get a phone call and you know they say so and so, you know, didn't do their homework. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or because I know what your behavior is at home. Mm-hmm. I know what it is. You know what I'm saying? If you're disheveled and unorganized at home, you're the same way at school. Yeah. So that's not a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we know our children.
And just hearing y'all and just bringing it home for me, I didn't have these conversations with my mama. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally did not have a conversation with my mother until I turned like 31. Mm-hmm. 31 years old.
It's when a long time to be holding something in like that.
A long time. Mm-hmm. But I felt that if I praise God hard enough, if I serve in church hard enough, mm-hmm. if I have enough prayer meetings and Bible studies.
Because that's what they tell us.
That's what they tell us. Like, I felt like if I did this long enough, it would take this out of me. Mm-hmm. My thought process. My thought process when I can remember being like 16 or 17, and I would think, man, I'm gonna get about 22, 23, I'm gonna get me a girlfriend, I'm gonna get married, have some kids, I'm gonna be through with this stuff, bro. And so all of us think that, we be thinking that, like, I'm just gonna outgrow, I'm gonna be through with this because how it's talked about is something that you can get rid of.
It's a phase.
It's a phase. Mm-hmm. Or it's
a demon.
It's a demon on you. It's something you can get rid of. And so I had in my head by the age of 23, 24, I was gonna find me a fine ass girl. I was gonna get her, you know, and put a couple babies in her, you know, have a family, you know. And I'll say this right now, right here, if I knew that it only progresses with time, I would have handled it better as a young man. If I knew that this ain't going nowhere. it's who we are. It's who we are. And one thing that I shared this with you now, because this has pushed me to, I read so much now and I study so much and I follow a lot of theologians online and a lot of like non-gay, non-queer theologians. And one said something the other week that really messed me up. He said, and you know, this is not a theological conversation, so I know it's going to be a lot of Bible thumping and, but it's wrong. And this man said, if you have already redefined what slavery means from the Bible, if you've already redefined what eating shellfish means from the Bible, you've already done the work you need to do. You've already done the work you need to do to understand that this is we read the Bible so surface.
Absolutely.
We don't dig beneath the surface. I had to say this, we don't dig beneath the surface. One thing, I don't mess with these guys a lot, but Hebrew Israelites, like, they go hard in the paint.
Oh, yeah.
They go fucking hard in the paint.
Dedicated.
And I respect them so much because they read and they know.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of us, we operate on a surface level on what the Bible says about this. And so
or we grasp on to the things that we agree with.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm noticing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
It's like you own you ignore the other stuff.
Yeah.
So you just you take whatever part of it you actually are okay with.
Right? Yes. Yes.
And that's what you
yes. You hold on tight. Mm-hmm. You hold on tight, and people have died. So many people, and I wanted to ask y'all, like, even before you had Jer, before you had Anthony, what were some of the biggest challenges you faced learning to unlearn, like, social biases that you had, like, what about just the queer life when you realized that I got one of these little motherfuckers with me, you know, what were some of the unlearning you had to learn for any mother or father or cousin or auntie watching? What did you have to unlearn? Like, and you both Christian women, you grew up in that. So we grew up in the Bible Belt. So what was your unlearning like?
Well, my unlearning was real simple. You know how the WWJD was so popping, you know, what would Jesus do?
Oh, geez.
Like, that's literally what I went with.
Wow.
What would Jesus do with this?
Wow.
What would Jesus do with this? Plus, I went further than the 66 books that we were told is the Holy Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I went and dug deeper.
Yeah.
Deeper.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I became more truly aligned with the works of Christ.
Yes.
Just not the Sadducees, not the religion, but Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the only people that Christ got down on was the church people and how they were defiling the temple.
Yeah.
But anybody else, the lady that they were going to stone, she was with a married man or whatever, they would do that.
Yeah.
And anybody who got something to say, you ain't never done nothing, throw the first stone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With his back turned.
Mm-hmm.
Who's back turning? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, anybody got? Okay, well, whoever who's never done anything, throw the first stone.
Mm-hmm.
You heard stones dropping, and they were gone because they had shit too.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing for me.
Yeah, you're online.
Yeah,
wow,
that was the thing. But again, I really, and I haven't done enough research on it. I'm gonna do it now because I have more time. But I never had that association with judgment. I was more judgmental of myself than other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because once my parents, with my mom, got saved when I was 8, I went from, I knew who God was. I had experienced God's presence before, and it was beautiful.
Yeah.
But when she took me to church, that guy was an angry dude. He was always mad.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand why. I liked the other God that I knew before, who was very loving.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what I was unlearning, was that oppression, that oppressive religion. So I was doing that. Like, I was afraid to go to sleep. I told you this, 10 years of my life, I was afraid to go to sleep every single night. I prayed every single night in tears, please don't take me in my sleep. I'm sorry that I like the Phil Collins song. I'm sorry that I liked the Alvin Ailey Dance Company. I'm sorry. Like, I was genuinely sorry for loving something that I had no choice. Mm-hmm. I love music. I love art. I love dance. Yeah. I love sculpt. All of that. It was just a part of who I was.
Mm-hmm.
So, having a gay son, I knew he didn't have a choice. He was just born that way, just like I was. Born the way I was born.
Exactly.
Wow.
So my unlearning came from how to not be mean and bitter to other people.
Mm.
Wow.
That was what it was for me.
Wow.
That was what it was for me.
Wow. What about you, Ken?
I think for me, my unlearning was the fact that I had to embrace all of him being gay. So it got to a point, like, in my embracing and, you know, us, you know, moving forward with it, he went through a phase where he wouldn't do it here, but he would go to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And when he went to Atlanta, he would be feminine presenting.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, it hurt my heart so bad.
Yeah.
Because I was like, and I remember saying, Okay, fine if you're gay. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. But you're still a boy. I still want you to be a boy. Mm-hmm. And that was what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And at some point, I heard what I was saying, and I was like, do you hear yourself? Like, do you really hear yourself? Mm-hmm. You can't say I accept you, but then also put him in a box.
Wow.
That's not how this works.
Wow.
And so I had to unlearn, because that was still a part of, like, my steps in mm-hmm. the acceptance process. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I had to accept that if that's how he felt comfortable, then that was all that mattered. Wow. It's not about me and how I want him to dress. It's about how he feels. Mm-hmm. And if he felt comfortable that way, then okay, because that's all that mattered. I remember at one point I thought how painful it must feel for someone to have to hide the most important part about them to everyone that they love. Like, that has to be heavy.
Yes.
That has to be painful. Yes. And I understood why there are so many people who are living on mm-hmm. the down
mm-hmm.
low
mm-hmm.
or, worst case scenario, take their own mm-hmm. lives.
Yeah.
And there was no way in fuck
yes.
I was about to let somebody,
yeah.
anybody.
Uh-huh.
I don't care about
uh-huh.
the church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care mm-hmm. about this Bible that you putting mm-hmm. in my face.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about none of that shit. Because if you are telling me that I'm supposed to feel this way about my son and it could potentially lead to me not having a son,
yeah.
F you mm-hmm. and yeah. everything you stand for.
Yeah.
And I once I grasped that concept,
mm-hmm.
that my son being unhappy could potentially lead to him taking his own life,
mm-hmm.
I don't care about nothing. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Yeah, and it's been a few times that I'll tell people, like, yeah, he was Jessica Rabbit or whatever the rabbit was mm-hmm. on Space Jam. What's the rabbit? Girl Rabbit. He's the girl rabbit.
Lola Bunny.
Lola Bunny, yeah.
I wore his
yeah.
Lola Bunny. Halloween. But I would tell people, like, he was Lola Bunny, he was so cute, and I text him, and he'll tell you, I'll randomly text him, mm-hmm. send me the picture when you were Lola Bunny, want to show somebody. If that was how he was comfortable, then okay. Now, in just to be transparent, does it make me more comfortable that he's out of that phase and that he is masculine presenting? Yes. But it's not because of what I want. It's mm-hmm. because I'm so afraid of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
my biggest issue
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
It's not me.
Yeah.
I am full speed ahead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mama bear.
Right.
I'm there.
Yeah.
Like, I fully accept it. We talk about boyfriends. Mm-hmm. We talk about everything.
Yeah.
And I'm fine.
Yeah.
But the part that scares me the most mm-hmm. is the world.
The world.
The thing
the
that
world.
I can't control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The
yeah.
thing that yeah. I can't
so
make somebody
man.
Love him like I love him.
Right.
I can't make someone accept him like I accept him. I can't make someone see him
mm-hmm.
how I see him. And so that's the part that I fear the most when it comes to the things that I had to unlearn. It's like, yeah, I unlearned it, but it still makes me a little, because at any point he could decide,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be like,
mm-hmm.
oh.
Yeah.
And it's not because I don't want that for him. I just want him to be able to do that.
Be safe.
And be safe and
be
safe. Comfortable.
Be safe.
So to that point, and Raymond knows this, the way that I handled that with Jeremiah, it was
mm-hmm.
so much of me affirming him as being a whole person,
mm-hmm.
and that his thoughts of who he was
mm-hmm.
going to affect his choosing of people to attach himself to.
Yes.
So just like you said, that people asked the question, if we didn't affirm them, what would happen? That was because I grew up in church.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a young man, amazing young man,
mm-hmm.
attached to older gay men who
mm-hmm.
treated them like trash.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's what I let me tell you, you don't really know.
Both of y'all the same person. Y'all did.
Baby,
listen.
When it comes to, and this is for my oldest.
Yeah.
With a woman that ain't Baby, I will get you. It will take them a long time to find all of you. It'll take a long time to find all of you.
Yeah. Let me tell you about this man that worked with AJ.
Okay. Yeah.
He was.
Let's do it.
AJ was working at this. I'm not gonna say where he was working, but he was working at this place. And at the time, I think he was 19. Mm-hmm. And he came home and he told me that some man. He told me the man was like 51.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
Approached him at work.
Mm-hmm.
And said, tried to get him to go in the bathroom. Now this man is married.
Wow. Wow.
Not to a man.
To a woman.
I said, I tell you what. Because see, we just talked about how we don't really know each other. I said, the next time that man, I said, what's his name?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I don't know his name because he's so nonchalant.
Yeah.
Next time he approaches you, ask him his name. I need first and last name.
Yeah.
I was fully.
You was ready. You was ready. Let's go.
Let's go get him.
Let's do it.
I was fully, but by the time I got done with that man, because their wife was about to know, his church, if he attended somewhere, worshiped on a regular basis, they were about to know.
Yeah.
I was fully prepared. Yeah. And you know what? It's a part of me that's sad that I didn't get to do that.
Because
I really wanted to rock his world.
Because he was going to
leave him alone.
And I want both of you to understand something right now. What if y'all boys didn't have the relationship? Imagine if he didn't have the relationship that y'all have with y'all boys. Mm-hmm. What I know a young man would have done, he would have latched on to that 50.
He would latch on to anything.
So tough and so hard because
just wanting to be accepted.
And seen.
And love, you know, and that's tough. That's tough, you would just gravitate to
any kind of attention
just to get it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, oh my God.
That wasn't gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
No.
Y'all got me thinking about so much, and I'm just so thankful. And if you were watching this episode, like to understand that this is real life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been bold enough to have this conversation. And I'm just sitting like, damn, like, I mean, you having this conversation with two mothers, and because y'all are who we come from.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all are who we come from. You know what I'm saying? And both of your boys, like, it's been like when they sit in my chair and when they come, like, what you doing, boy? Like, what's up? Who you dating? Who you talking to? I asked those questions.
Oh, you know, I had people know, watching out for Jeremiah because, you know, there'd be the little different little Facebook groups or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a guy, and I won't call his name, and he's very, you know, he's very out, very prominent. Mm-hmm. I was like, if you see him anywhere, let
he
me.
Don't mind you saying his name. D. Smith. D. Smith,
D. If you see him, he's, oh, no, I got you. Don't worry about it. He said, I get him together. Thank you.
Nice.
Because I know. So, and it's unfortunate, and I hope this isn't taken the wrong way, but there are so many of the older gay men who didn't receive affirmation and support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're old, bitter punks.
Yeah.
And they want to fuck over the younger ones.
Yeah.
Have them as their toys. Whatever. Right. My kid ain't no motherfucking toy.
Right. Yeah.
He's
right.
not anything
right.
that you got to demean to make yourself feel better. You ain't Superman. You don't need to be rescued. You need to be rescued.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if you raggedy, how the fuck you think you're going to build him up? You can't.
You cannot.
You can't. Because all of your bleeding, you're going to bleed on him.
Bleed on him.
You're going to bleed on my kid.
You're going to bleed on him.
You're going to bleed on my kid.
Yeah.
So I was very adamant. If you see him anywhere, I don't care what kind of... If it is an unhealthy circle of people,
you
walk up to him and tell him, you got to roll up with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the fact that he was like, I ain't never seen him, but if I do, thank you. Mm-hmm. Because he was part of me, used to be a part
still
of the church scene.
It's the same.
Absolutely.
It's still
absolutely. And I did not want to be, not that I didn't trust Jeremiah, But Jeremiah is very caring and loving like me. Mm-hmm. So I know that there are vultures out there mm-hmm. that prey on mm-hmm. young men who are like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you won't gonna get that one.
Yeah.
You won't get that one.
Yeah.
No, you won't get that one. Because I promise you,
mm-hmm.
it'd been real bad.
Yeah.
It'd been real bad.
Yeah.
Real bad.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna put a pin right here, and we're gonna do a part two. And so we'll be back next week for the part two. Well, we gonna be here. Well, I gotta make this a part two because I wanna make sure we get everything in. See y'all next week. Ray Bridge and Hermes.
See you next week.